Hello again, Nightmare Society. I've got a particularly disturbing story for you this evening, submitted by one of our faithful listeners, Nanook_the Wolf, who I'd like to thank for taking the time to submit this very intense encounter. So get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
It's been 3 years since that fateful Sunday morning that changed the course of my life forever. Sometimes the universe has a funny way of altering the paths so specific that it could inevitably leave you with two choices: sink or swim. Unfortunately, the choices we make in life have dire consequences that blind us from the clear, formidable danger that may lay ahead unrecognized until it's too late. Living life on autopilot comes with its fair share of vulnerability. This was me, 3 years ago in late December here in Austin, Texas, during a cold spell, which came unusually early that weekend, accompanying sporadic bouts of rain. The cold minus the rain excites me, as it does most Texans, because of the summer heat and humidity plagues us to the point of insanity. We have had long summers and short winters in the past few years. I love summers, but I just think there should be an equal distribution, not spilling on to one another, robbing us of our seasonal changes. A bit of background. My boyfriend and I were endurance athletes, trail runners, if you will. In past years, we competed in several trail races. However, we would just hit the trails recreationally. For us, trail running provided us an outlet for adventure while getting our fair share of physical activity. In my honest opinion, there isn't a gym membership in the world that provides us what nature trails offer. The world is our gym, Ethan used to say. In Austin, there are plentiful trails here and surrounding areas with beautiful scenic views that would eliminate any pessimistic individual. Trust me, I know this from a personal account. I'll get into that shortly. My boyfriend and I were never great road runners, since the monotony of roads and a cluster of vehicular toxicity pollution towards our open lungs seemed to suck the love out of running. Nature trails deliver such a beautiful scenic disposition that would leave you in an optimistic headspace. Never mind how difficult the variety of terrain may offer, with its ridiculous curves, uneven inclines, and descending slopes. The pain seems to be almost synonymous with its beautiful landscapes. That may sound corny to most, but trail runners and hikers would agree. Running and hiking in nature is an effort worth enduring. Enduring, such a simple yet effective word, that would eventually become my salvation, and also my nemesis. My boyfriend had dealt with depression in recent years and found an outlet with trail running. He sure was proud of it too. He had tried everything, and those antidepressant side effects left him worse than he started. I still hear him saying with that cheesy, arrogant smile, "Science has confirmed the lowering of cortisol with a combination of aerobic activity and nature, increasing a chemical in our brain called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, to those who are less science-inclined, such as I. Increasing this chemical has been shown to decrease depression." My boyfriend Ethan truly believed this with all of his heart. and depended on this holistically self-medicated exposure. And believe me, the mood swings he would display with the almost nothing matters attitude, I sure as heck made sure we both got our equal dose of trail running. Not because I needed it, but because he did. And it gave me a sense of relief and capability to deal with the wild fluctuations of emotional despair. God, he could feel sad and angry out of nowhere all at the same time. But I love him, and I always will. Although if that doesn't add insult to injury, Ethan always liked to dive into weird, boring things that I didn't find interesting at all, like science, nutrition, and constantly reading books that might as well have been in pig Latin. He would always say, "Mia, if you constantly avoid reading things that bore you, how could you possibly have growth and perspective in your life?" My reply was easy.
"I have you to tell me these boring things you feel I need to know."
Which, to be honest, I sometimes didn't. That always annoyed him and secretly gave me pleasure. That was my way of staying above the fray. He could be arrogant sometimes, but I'll take that over his crippling depressive episodes any day. That Sunday morning, I stepped out on our balcony around 7 a.m. and felt the cold chill from the cold front. The cool winds had a bit of a mist that made the wind chill factor even colder. I just stood there trying to finish my hot coffee without burning my lips off. But I kept having this strange, ominous feeling in my gut that just lingered the moment I woke up. Maybe I just didn't feel like trail running, and instead felt a warm gym might be the better option. Or maybe this coffee is exciting my bowels. I'm not sure why I had suddenly felt that way that morning, but I just shook it off towards the dreary weather and returned inside. Ethan was already getting dressed because he didn't care how the weather was. He's so focused on physical exercise since he uses it as his medication. I guess I would as well if I dealt with depression, albeit mood disorder. As Ethan was getting our husky hybrid ready for the trails, I was still deciding what jacket I wanted to wear for the weather. Us women have to look cute no matter the situation. I forgot to mention we also run with our husky Nanook. He is such a beautiful soul and is the perfect endurance athlete. He came with us every trail run like clockwork, usually leading the pace. We would take him to the gym, but Ethan refused to register Nanook as his service dog due to people perceiving him as someone with a disability. Nanook is another reason Ethan had been able to keep his depression at bay. We adored our husky, and when he had those bouts of depression, or off days, as I like to call them, Nanook was always there for him, lowering his stress levels. I swear to God, dogs are so instinctual. Our husky could sense my boyfriend's off days. Might be due to the sorrowful atmosphere. Nanook can just lie around with Ethan, putting his head on his chest or lap, attached to him the whole time. It's a beautiful thing. Dogs are proof God loves us. That morning, however, we cut our morning coffee short, grabbed a few bananas, harnessed Nanook up, and jumped into our SUV. Over our intermittent coffee ritual, Ethan and I conversed about only doing a few miles on this new trail we haven't ventured up on. There's an app called All Trails we downloaded showing us all the surrounding trails when you enter a specific radius. That's when we found the trail Hill of Life, and instantly, it resonated with Ethan. I naturally agreed, since we had lots of errands to do and wanted to get this started already so we could just go about our day. The weather was gross, so a good hour of trail running would be sufficient. We arrived at the trail around 8:30 a.m., and we're only 25 miles from our apartment, when our GPS advised us to turn right down the old country road off Capital of Texas Highway Loop 360, leading us right to the trail parking lot, after a half mile in. Once we drove in, we were both visibly surprised. The parking lot was empty. This was odd here in Austin. The trails are always packed with trail runners, hikers, and nature-loving hippie liberal naturalists. You know, the kind that refuse to wear deodorant because chemicals are destroying mankind stuff. Anyway, we chalked it up to how early we were, and maybe Hill of Life is just a simple, semi-flat trail, and not much of a challenge. To be honest, we knew nothing of this trail, and that didn't surprise me. The concept of the unknown excited Ethan. He had always been a thrill seeker when he didn't have his episodic off days. I guess it was his way of enjoying life when he felt chemically balanced.
More nature for us,
Ethan shouted.
Maybe it's closed,
I said. However, there was not a barrier to entry whatsoever, and we knew that wasn't the case. Here in Austin, there's hidden gems that some Austinites find and keep to themselves. And today, we thought we found one. How very wrong and naive we had been. As we parked and grabbed our hydration gear off the SUV, we made our way to the entrance of the trail. Walking up to the trailhead, there was a murky, coarse map nailed to a tree, which we found odd. Trying to make out the old map, the total duration one way was around 10 miles. So we snapped a picture of the map like we always do with our cell phone, and agreed on running half the distance before making a turn back towards the entrance, covering a nice 10-mile run in total. Because like we said, we had a ton of errands to do, and both Ethan and I needed a little dopamine euphoric boost to start our busy day, as well as to deload from the recent work week. As we headed down the rocky trail entrance, we started our Garmin GPS to track the miles, and Nanook led the pace as always, and we started our run. The narrow trail path seemed marginally thin. The vegetation was plentiful as it gracefully spilled over the path. Odd at the moment, I remember thinking,
wow, it seems the foot trails are less prominent here.
Maybe that should have raised a red flag. But then again, that's the beauty of nature. And I'm sure with all the rain we've been having lately, maintenance for parks and wildlife is finding it difficult to maintain habitually. However, such naive thinking would cost us greatly. There had been only our vehicle in the parking lot, and that alone should have raised some concerns that maybe this trail should not be habited. We didn't properly research this trail to know what to expect. My boyfriend just prefers things that way. I don't. That has never been my personality. I always like to know what I'm getting into. But since Ethan and I had been together, the bad habits rubbed off on me, I guess. Passiveness can become a burden of its own. Anyhow, we kept trekking forward, Nanook leading, trying to avoid the vegetation, and Ethan right behind our husky. I always like to hang back. I've never been one to lead the pace. I just feel I can decide which gear feels right. I don't enjoy being hunted down with Nanook's hot breath heaving on my tail. 30 minutes passed and my Garmin alerted that we had already hit 2.5 miles of windy, quick curves up and down terrain. When Nanook and Ethan stopped at the end of our path that intersected in a Y formation with each other, one leading left and one leading right. I didn't find it odd not having crossed paths with anyone because of how early it was. Eventually, I figured on our way back we would run into some hiker or runner. What struck me odd was there had been no directional markers to show what's ahead. I hate nature trails that confuse the crap out of you, forcing you to whip out your cell phone to view the map. We always snapped a photo of the nature trail maps to avoid running in circles, which is always an inconvenience. Trying to decide which direction to take because according to the map they recombined later down the trail anyway, Ethan finally said, "Let's just go left and see how far we can go to complete the 5 miles and then head back." Besides, Nanook had already made that decision for us by motioning left, pulling Ethan along with him. Another 2.5 miles to go and we would turn back, so really it didn't matter which direction we took. Ethan had bought this new hands-free crossbody leash that resembles as if Ethan is being sled-pulled by our husky. Funny, I know who's guiding who, right? As we descended on the trail towards the left about another 10 minutes, I couldn't help but notice how uninhabited this side of the trail had been, and how much darker the overgrowth brush and trees made the path look and feel narrower than the other path we started on. My observation of our surroundings quickly dissipated when Nanook abruptly stopped in her tracks a few meters away from my boyfriend, only a half a mile in, causing Ethan to redirect his position to avoid toppling over Nanook from the spend of the descent, tripping my boyfriend off the path into the tall grass. Ethan quickly got up angry and yelled, "Nanook, what the fuck?" Then silence, as my boyfriend's demeanor changed from angry to concerned. Ethan said in a soft, nervous tone, "Nanook, what's wrong?" As I stopped my descent and cautiously walked up several feet behind Ethan, who had slowly moved out of the tall grass and onto the path directly behind Nanook, I could hear our husky just growling and staring off into the path ahead of us. Ethan slowly turned and gave me a concerned stare, straining his eyes in a confused look. I couldn't help but notice the look of concern Ethan had for our safety, and that our husky, who was showing major signs of aggression. We all knew this wasn't right. Huskies aren't those type of dogs. The only way a breed like a Siberian husky shows aggression is when there's something very hostile in their environment. The unknown can do that to you. Especially when your pet shows a sign of aggression us mere mortals cannot visually or instinctually feel. Nanook could sense that there was something or someone ahead of us. The best piece of advice I could give is always trust your pets. One day it could very well save your life. We were both unsure what was happening, and just stood there staring directly into the path in front of us, which seemed to have become darker the further we stared down. Standing there listening to Nanook growling and slightly whimpering was so unnerving. We've never heard our husky make a sound like that before. It wasn't a normal growl either. A mixture of whimper and growling. A clear sign of protectiveness of both fear and aggression. To what, though, we could see nothing. Just a narrow foot trail with an extraordinary growth of green nature. Ethan broke up the paralysis and said, "Move back, Mia, we're turning around." Suddenly our husky gave this loud, horrendous howl bark that shook Ethan into reaction. when our husky leapt forward, since both Ethan and Nanook were locked into the leash. I heard Ethan yell,
"Nanook, stop!"
Yanking our husky back, Ethan was now mid-center in front of me on the path. We look up and see someone standing on the trail that had bolted out of the high vegetation behind this huge cedar elm-looking tree right off the tall grassy path. This is what our Nanook sensed even before we knew what the heck was going on. What stood in our direction on the path was a dark figure, looming over 6 feet tall. I'm not sure if he had a mask on under his hood or what, but all we could barely make out is the strained white of his eyes. Beady, white little eyes that captured our full attention. Either way, his face was not recognizable, and he was just standing there, staring at us malevolently, saying nothing. I was still several feet behind Ethan and Nanook. Ethan just stood there, staring back at the tall, dark figure in the most intense visual image imaginable, like a stare-off, as if both were sizing each other up. By this time, Ethan had coiled the leash that brought Nanook between his legs, standing over Nanook holding onto the handle part, kind of like cops do with their guard dogs in training. While nobody said a word, Nanook was sounding off like some kind of rabid dog. I remember like it was yesterday, how still everything was, the calm before the storm. Nothing seemed right. Nothing at all. From the moment we parked at the empty trail lot to the murky trail map nailed on the tree. Then I realized my cell phone. I tried to reach down and grab my cell phone, and just as quickly as I had done that, the dark figure pulled out something from his backside and lunged forward. In response, our husky lunged in the man's direction, still being restrained by my boyfriend. Ethan jerked back on the leash and turned his head towards me, quickly yelling,
"Run, Mia! Run! Don't stop!"
Oh my god. My heart jumped out of my chest and a flash of heat overtook every inch of my body, and I started frantically running back in the direction we came in towards the Y-path intersect. I was yelling and crying so hysterically. It all seemed so surreal. I remember yelling for Ethan, but all I could hear was howling. Lots of yelling, and sounds that sound almost like a boxer hitting a punching bag. I was running so fast I could hear my heartbeat in my head. I remember my pace was so hard I swore I might have collapsed if adrenaline and fear had not overcome my body. I was so scared out of my mind and could still hear faint yells from my boyfriend that I could not make out. I'm not sure how long I had been running, but I could no longer hear Ethan anymore. When you run in hyperspeed or faster than a race pace, the world around you starts to narrow in. Like tunnel vision. Regardless, I had no recollection how far I had run until I could now see the Y-intersect cross path several yards away, which is the marker to return to the entrance where we came in. Just as I came closer, I suddenly heard pounding on the rocks on the path, and before I had the chance to turn around, I felt a forceful whoosh graze my right upper hip, causing me to yell and fall on the path. It was Nanook. He turned around all excitedly and came towards me, howling and barking in full hyper mode. His lower jaw and teeth had bloodstains that had trickled down his grayish-white chest coat and onto his left leg. I remember feeling concerned if that was my husky's blood or that of my boyfriend. To this day, I tell myself against all costs it was not his. It had been that of the stranger. Nanook protecting us, having bitten that man attacking my boyfriend. I could hear nothing but awkward silence. which that alone horrified me, springing me up onto my feet. As I reached for Nanook's leash connected to his harness, I saw it had been severed. Ethan had not been carrying a knife. That object that stranger pulled from his backside must have been a knife. Adding fire to my distress, I couldn't even think anymore. I was so scared out of my mind that I took off running with Nanook and kept a nervously hard pace back towards the way we came from the entrance, knowing it took 2.5 miles to get where I'm at now. I can remember vividly how I kept looking back periodically, yelling for Ethan, and seeing if that stranger or my boyfriend gave chase behind Nanook and I as we ran the whole way back, taking the inclines, sprinting the descents and slicing the curves, finally making it to the trail entrance. We ran so hard, in such a frenetic pace, it was almost as if the pain didn't matter. My fight or flight response was in full control with my complete terror. Maybe, just maybe, the years of trail running truly paid off. Had I not been a novice at the trails, the outcome would have been different. I might not be here today telling my story. As Nanook and I ran past the entrance and into the trail lot, I was still crying hysterically. Reaching our locked SUV, I remember Ethan had the keys to the SUV. Terror gripped me as I cried louder, yanking on the door handle as if it would magically give way. Finally, we ran towards the road that leads to the trail lot, hoping to run in front of any passing car that might head in our direction. When nobody was in sight, my husky and I ran around 300 meters and snakingly grabbed my cell phone, standing beside the trail to make sure the man didn't come out running for us, phoning 911.
911, what's the nature of your emergency?
I know I must have sounded crazy, out of breath and frantically yelling. I can imagine how the 911 operator felt listening to my stuttering and crying for help. That job has to be horrendous. The 911 dispatch was keeping me calm and giving me directions while the police reached the trailhead in less than 10 minutes. All the while, Nanook and I stayed on the road facing the trail lot. No sign of my boyfriend or the stranger. I remember pleading to the police officers who had arrived on the scene to please find my boyfriend. Now he's in there, somewhere with that maniac.
Please find my boyfriend, please.
Is all I kept saying repeatedly. I had given the cops the location of the trail on the left at the cross paths where that man had attacked us. Although I did not refuse medical attention, I did, however, refuse to leave to the hospital without Ethan and my husky, so I stayed sitting in the ambulance while several police officers entered the trail searching the area, which seemed like an eternity. One officer of the first responders that had asked me a barrage of questions earlier, once I could calm down from my frantic crying and short breaths, emerged from the entrance of the trail and was looking down, listening to the information being received on his radio from the officers inside the trail location. As he murmured something I couldn't comprehend except a confirmed 10-4 as he slowly looked up, walking towards me, still sitting on the open door of the ambulance, staring right back at him, locking eyes. Reaching Nanook and I, he informed me that they had not found Ethan but were still searching. There had been signs of a struggle and blood on the path, not sure whose it was from. He then went on how law enforcement and the criminal scene investigation are examining the scene. He encouraged me to let the law enforcement do their job and allow the EMS to transport me to the hospital. He also rambled on how he sympathizes with me and understands how painfully difficult the situation is. When I finally agreed, they allowed my husky to accompany me. The last thing I remember before the EMS closed the ambulance door was that the officer said,
Don't worry, we will find your boyfriend, I promise you. Our canines are on the scene as well.
I'm not sure if that's something law enforcement expresses to every victim to keep up their morale in these traumatic situations or what, but I remember being slightly optimistic towards him, and just gave a sorrowful nod as the doors closed and drove away en route to St. David's North Austin Medical Center. I'm not sure how anyone reacts towards these types of scenarios. I know it's conditional, but having an optimism helps keep the dread at bay. At least that's what my therapist says. Sometimes I wonder if she speaks out of experience or academically. It's been 3 years now, and Ethan is still missing. There's not been one day that goes by that I don't think of Ethan, bringing me to overwhelming emotions. The intensive therapy I underwent for 2 years after that dreadful day was mostly because I blamed myself for leaving him, and the recurring trauma that would remunerate to the point of insanity. Is this what depression feels like? Was this how Ethan felt on those off days I had experienced him go through? My therapist explained to me it's natural to harbor such emotions after undergoing such horrific events. I blamed myself for leaving him. How could I have just left him? Why did that stranger not harm my husky and I? Why were we allowed to escape? These questions, my therapist explained to me, were a normal, deep self-analysis associated with increased psychological responses towards regret and blame. Coping strategies play an important role in traumatic events. It's normal for deep self-healing. There will be better days, she repeated. But will they? If so, when? It's been 3 years with no closure at all. I need to know something about Ethan and his complete disappearance. What happened to Ethan was Austin's worst event the city had experienced since the axe murder of the poltergeist classic Lou Perryman, in his own home right here in Austin, Texas. No, nothing will ever be the same for our husky and I until I have closure. In the past 3 years, there have been sporadic murders of males being abducted and later found in the ponds and lakes all around the Austin area. Law enforcement and media have made public announcements on the situations, but have not ruled it a homicide, or accept what happened to Ethan. Drowning, they say. You believe that crap? Drowning? Everyone in Austin, especially on social media, knows that we have some kind of serial killer here that law enforcement and the media are afraid to acknowledge to avoid public panic. Grown men disappearing and ending up in the lakes? Sounds too coincidental. And every day my heart stops to learn who the victim might be. Will that be the day my phone rings to tell me they found my boyfriend floating in some lake here in Austin, resurfacing after 3 years? Today marks 3 years, and this is the first time Nanook and I are gearing up for a trail run. I could not bring myself to return to the nature trails after what had happened to us, but I know that this is not what Ethan would want. I've struggled with this, drifting through the days and waking up in the middle of the night in terror with just my husky to hold. Never knowing what happened to your loved one is worse than knowing. I've tried prayer, but that didn't work. Instead, I have total rumination of the tragic events that happened that day, and not much of anything else. Recently, I did some research on Hill of Life Trail, and according to the information I received, the reason for the vacancy was because of the infestation of blue-green algae. It's deadly for our pets if consumed. So everyone in Austin avoided this trail until they completely eradicated the poisonous algae. Many believe this left the trail vulnerable to the homeless and drug addicts within the trail because of city sanctions not allowing establishing tents in the public domain. But deep down inside, I know it wasn't just some homeless person or strung-out drug addict. I know it had to have been someone more sinister, with malicious intent, taking full advantage of the uninhabited location. Yes, it's clear now. We were being stalked on the trail. I found Ethan's journal, and it took me several days to read it. It was so painful to bring myself to even open such intimacy. Finally, I did, and read through the journal, and it taught me a lot of his internal struggles and thought processes I had not entirely known. When I reached his last entry a few days before his disappearance, it was difficult for me to read. His last journal entry wrote, "There are many uncertainties in my life. I've made many mistakes that tears away at my soul and pushes everyone I've ever loved away. Everyone except my husky Nanook, who loves me unconditionally. I feel bad for him sometimes. I know I can be a handful. But I feel I'm getting better. He loves to go on trail hikes and running with me. I have an indubitable connection towards nature. For me, the beauty of nature reminds me of the goodness of God. Just like Thoreau said, all good things are free." That's when I noticed he had not finished his journal entry, so I picked up where he left off. I wrote,
"Today marks 3 years you're gone. Nanook and I have been waiting for your return. I'm sorry I left you in that trail. Not a day goes by that my heart doesn't break all over again because of what you gave up so that Nanook and I could come home. I have not been on a trail since. I know you're probably angry with me right now, but we have good friends who are persistent. They also helped me receive my handler's permit recently and decided to always take my Glock 19 Luger with me everywhere I go now. Especially since we are returning to the trails. I feel safer this way, so no need to worry about us. We will be okay. This morning after I finished your journal, Nanook and I are headed to your favorite River Place trail with our friends. As for Nanook, I will take care of him always. I know he misses you greatly. He sits by the door sometimes, hoping you'll come walking through, howling all crazy to get him all excited. I just want you to know that I love you. I always will. You and all of your off days."
And to the stranger that took Ethan from us, better hope to God we never meet again. It will not end well for you. A huge thank you to Nanook the Wolf for submitting their story. I would love to hear yours as well. You can send it to nightmaresocietyradio@gmail.com or reach out to me on social media, Instagram @nightmaresocietyradio and Twitter @society_radio. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.